What is going on, everyone? Welcome to the Slaw Sports Show. I'm your host, Cole Noble, a.k.a. Slaw. We are here live again in studio on this beautiful Monday morning, and we are continuing on our NFL draft positional prospect breakdown one last time. Bringing in studio with us, Matt Laguza. Matt, let me be the first to say, happy draft week.
It is draft week, the best week of the year, only 3 days away from round one commencing in Kansas City. I mean, we're getting excited. It should be a great week.
Yep, looking at the calendar, you know, racing the day on Sunday this morning and seeing Monday next up to start off the week in the big circle on Thursday for draft day, and it's an exciting week. Still a lot to happen. I mean, we had a bombshell over the weekend where Will Levis is now the top dog to go number two overall, has the best odds at number two overall. Was a big headline to come out over the weekend, and I think there's still more to come here at the beginning part of this week.
Yeah, there's a lot to come here. You know, you never know. A lot of movement with the quarterbacks, a lot of movement with the edge rushers. We're expecting to see a lot of people try to make trades, potentially jump into that top 10, top 15. We still haven't seen the Rodgers trade. That should happen at some point this week, hopefully, but we'll see what happens.
Yep, and then, I mean, more trades to come. I mean, especially once we get to draft day, the trades just go like crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Once the clock has begun, teams are on the clock is ticking, teams get, you know, sweaty hands, get a little antsy, move up and down the board, and, I mean, some teams go into it, expecting to move up and down the board, so a lot of trades still to come, like you said, that involve players, involve picks, a lot to come in a busy week ahead, but Matt, we have today the next rundown of the position groups, and it's a little shaky. I said one position to go one last time. It's technically two positions, but we have one safety in this group, so we have defensive backs, but mostly the corners today, and we're going to include Brian Branch as a pseudo slot corner within the group as the cornerbacks. So a pretty good cornerback class, one that has fluctuated tremendously. I mean, back at the combine, we talked about Joey Porter Jr., and Christian Gonzalez heavily during the combine because no Devin Witherspoon. Now after the pro day and leading back into it, more people getting into the tape. Devin Witherspoon is back up, to, you know, as one of those top guys in this position group. How do you, looking into this position group, how did you see this position fare compared to other classes before and just the overall structure of this class that you like the best?
I think this is one of the best classes that we've seen in a while, and it's arguably the best positional class in this year's draft. There's a lot of depth, a lot of top-end talent as well, and we could see as many as seven defensive backs go in this first round. So a lot of these guys are going to be day one starters. A lot of these guys are going to make an impact right away, and I think we're going to see that. Potentially one or two going in the top 10, another in total four or five go in the top 20. So there's a lot of potential in this class. So it'll be exciting to see how it plays out down the road.
Well, Matt, let's go ahead and kick it off with the guy out of Oregon who had a really good process, very good tape. Seems to be like the cornerback one in this year's class. But I'm hearing some rumblings today where, you know, another cornerback is listed as the top guy. But Christian Gonzalez is the one we're going to start with first because he's the one that I personally like the best in this year's class. And again, he's fluctuated around a lot as well. Some teams like him, some teams like Witherspoon, some teams want to take Gonzalez for the sake that he's the top cornerback.
Yep.
So we'll start with him, a guy who was primarily on the outside of the, you know, of the defense, on the outside, you know, on the perimeter, close to the sideline, pretty much a one-on-one press man defender for the Oregon Duck defense. 500 snaps outside. A little bit, you know, only 138 snaps in the slot this year, but an exceptional open field tackler and a guy whose tape really speaks for itself.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great athlete. I mean, he's exactly what you want in a number one corner. He's got great size, great speed. He's very explosive. He's strong as well. You mentioned he plays in a lot of press coverage. He bullies people off the line there. And, I mean, he's a very good stereotypical corner. He's got great length. His ability to play the position technically is very good as well. So I expect him to come out and be a day one starter. Whether he's the cornerback one, I think depends on what team he gets drafted to. But he's definitely going to be a starter day one on the outside of an NFL offense.
Yeah, and to me, when I look at his potential, I think he's a guy who could be a possible early Pro Bowler early in his career. I think no matter, you know, what defense he's added to, I think he has that potential just as a lockdown corner. Reminds me a little bit just of a Jair Alexander, you know, smaller, you know, 6'2", 200-pound guy, but he's very lengthy, especially his arms,
yep.
Really long athlete, lean corner, and the athleticism is off the charts as well. So I think he can easily defend a number one receiver in the NFL and right out of the gate be in consideration for a Pro Bowl.
Yeah, and I mean, one thing that this class has is it doesn't have the hype that some of these past classes have.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at it, last year, all people could talk about was Sauce and Derek Stingley. When Jeff Okuda came out and he was the number 3 overall pick for the Lions, all people could talk about was how good Jeff Okuda was. This year, because of the quarterback controversy that's going on and the Jalen Carter stuff that's been going on off the field, no one is talking about this cornerback class.
Yeah.
So it's very underrated. They can kind of fly under the radar, get through their draft process, and then have their impact be made on the NFL field. So you're not hearing a lot about these guys. There's no, Christian Gonzalez is going to be an elite, you know, starter right out the gate. Just top corner in this class, potentially go top 10, and he's going to go do his job on the field. So it's interesting to see how these guys are going to have, like, do it on the field if the not talking about them is, you know, something to say about the class. That maybe they're kind of like a level below some of these other guys that we were just talking about coming out of college.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting.
So we pulled up, we're going to pull this up now, the process of Christian Gonzalez, especially, you know, the combine, the pro day measurables. He had a 9.95 composite score on the relative athletic score. So an elite category, you know, again, the great size, great weight, the length is incredible as well, 32-inch arms, and then 4.38, 40-yard dash. I mean, it's still considered elite.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not.
That's good.
I think Nolan Smith had a faster one, who we talked about.
Yeah,
last
I think
week.
So.
But still a pretty good one. You know, 1.54 on his 10-yard split. He had a 41.5-inch vertical. An elite athlete is what Chris Gonzalez is. And he showed that during his process. And, you know, the tape showcases that this guy is going to be a lockdown defender.
Yeah.
At the next level. When you pair him up one-on-one on the outside, he's got the instincts, the awareness, and man or zone coverage to do what he does best. And I really like him, you know, where he's fits best as that press man corner against the receiver, you know, on his own island pretty much.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what you love in a corner, especially when you're going to take him high. You want someone that's going to be able to do his job one-on-one in that area, and he's shown in college that he can do that.
Yeah.
The question is, will he be able to do that at the NFL level? And that's the whole draft process. You've got to decide if the guy's going to be able to do it, and so far from what we've heard, he can.
So let's pull up some tape on Christian Gonzalez and see some of these plays that he was able to make on this defense with the Oregon Ducks. So a lot of these, again, just one-on-one. And what I like is the open field tackling the most out of Christian Gonzalez. A very willing tackler, and he holds his own in open field. I mean, some of these other guys are better tacklers where, you know, they get down into it at any point in the field and just constantly chasing the ball. But with Gonzalez being on an island, you know, quick screens to the outside, those type of things where they're challenging him to make a tackle where he's the only man out there in space, he's able to step up to the challenge time and time again and bring a guy to the ground. So a lot of these, again, outside one-on-one coverages, there's another tackle in open field where he's the lead guy having to take the charge there on a running back. So I like this guy in space. And I like him as a coverage corner as well. There's some pass breakups here and there where he's challenged. And honestly, was challenged more so than I actually thought he would be.
Yeah. And honestly, I think the only thing negative, and not really a negative for him, is his ability to react to the football on those. Because you mentioned a lot of pass breakups on the film. Some of those could have been picks that I've seen. And I think, again, at the end of the day, your number one job as the corner isn't to pick the ball off. But it is ideal if you can.
Yeah.
So at the same time, if you can anticipate throws a little better, get a better angle into attacking these throws, then that'll take him to that next level where he gets all the hype that he deserves.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing. He's done great. Great job defending. Just maybe to get that little extra boost would be something he can work on.
So when we look at Christian Gonzalez, you know, there's thoughts that he could go to the Arizona Cardinals, the Detroit Lions, if they're looking to go cornerback. The Raiders also potentially, you know, could go corner. You know, a lot of stuff coming out today, especially in Peter King's Football Morning in America this morning, that the Raiders might not be interested in quarterback. They could rather go with an offensive lineman or a cornerback. So Christian Gonzalez, Devin Witherspoon could fit with that team. But it seems like a top 10 guy, and to me, it'd be very surprising to see him fall out of the top 10 in this year's class.
Yeah, I think at least one corner is going in the top 10, and Christian Gonzalez will be one of those. If there's more, he will be one of them.
Yeah.
So I think there's no question about it. There's plenty of teams that need corners. There are teams that can trade up for a corner. I highly doubt that's going to happen, but with the depth of the class, I think it's very doubtful.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Lions, Falcons, Cardinals, so many teams in there that could use him. He's going top 10. If he doesn't, he's not making it past probably 12 or 13, because at that point, if he squeaks out, someone might actually trade up, because that would be a steal of a pick at that point.
Yeah, for sure. We'll be interested to see which team tries to take the stab at him first in the top 10, and if he lands within that category. So the next one up, Matt, is we're going to go with Devin Witherspoon, a guy who we didn't see at the combine, and I believe didn't really see too much of at the pro day either, so not much agility-wise to look at, you know, testing, pre-draft processing, but still many see as the cornerback two, potentially the cornerback one, by what the tape showed in this year's class and Devin Witherspoon. So another guy who I really liked looking into it, and these top guys, you know, the top three or four are really good.
Yeah.
Very good cornerbacks, and I'm sure every team's board is split on the rankings of these guys, but Witherspoon is the one that you see a lot of at the top of the list that during the process, you didn't hear his name a lot. So you saw his name all the time, but didn't hear it as much. What did you like out of Devin Witherspoon on tape that, you know, we didn't really get the chance to see during his testing?
Yeah. I think Christian Gonzalez, no question, is the best corner in this class. Devin Witherspoon is probably my favorite corner in this class. I think he is a very underrated player. Only allowed 34.9% completion percentage in 2022. 14 pass breakups. I mean, the guy is a physical beast. He loves playing strong. He's a little on the shorter side. 5'11", 181. So, a little on the smaller side, but he makes up for it with just his work rate. His ability to just push defenders away and really kind of feel like he's like 6'1". And like 200.
Yeah.
I mean, he makes himself bigger than he is. So I love that about him. But no, he's going to be very good. I personally have him as a potentially top 10 pick in this class. I think, as we've talked about this before, a bunch of teams that could use corner already. And he could potentially go over Christian Gonzalez. I think it all depends on what the team wants. But Devin Witherspoon is a great player, top 10 level talent. And I think he is going to have a very good NFL career.
So you look back at the process I was talking about. So he missed the combine.
Yep.
Due to a hamstring injury. You know, didn't do any testing. He did show up for his pro day, ran the 40, ran a 4.46, and then a 4.42. Officially was reported at the private workout by NFL Network and Daniel Jeremiah. But the interesting thing with that 4.42, NFL.com reported that 7 cornerbacks ran a faster 40-yard time than Witherspoon did at his workout, and several of whom were bigger than Devin Witherspoon. So that's a little bit of cause for concern, but it still was, I mean, that hamstring injury, it's a lingering injury that lingers for a while. So I don't want to put too much, you know, eggs into that basket of, you know, knocking him for a score or anything like that. But still a guy, I mean, Associated Press All-American, Big Ten Defensive Back of the Year, was a Jim Thorpe Award finalist. On the field, he showcased what he can do.
Yeah.
And I think that's what really counts, what really matters for a lot of these teams. So on the field, most of it was on the right side, on the outside again, but also had experience in the slot. Had 614 snaps on the outside, 109 in the slot. Even played a little box, 11 snaps in the box as well. But 0 touchdowns allowed this year was the big thing. And a 25.3 passer rating allowed.
Yeah.
That's pretty good stuff from Devin Witherspoon. And what I liked, you know, he played the crossers very well in man coverage. I think it's a very underrated part for a cornerback in man coverage that in the NFL they have to get used to.
Yep.
When you're going up against, you know, now returning to the league, who I think is the best at it, Odell Beckham Jr. You know, if you're going to play against Odell Beckham Jr. and he's running a crossing route and you're in man coverage, you need to be able to keep up with that guy.
Yep.
Running across the field. Because they're going to get that ball in space and be able to work. And a lot of offenses like to utilize that with their wide receivers, you know, sending them on crossers and meshes across the field. So I think that was one of Devin Witherspoon's strongest points that I saw breaking down the film.
And that's what we like to see out of him. That's why people are so high on him. His ability to do the stuff on the field is up at the top of this class. Whether it's one, whether it's two, whatever you think, he's up there. And people are obviously a little concerned about his top-end speed. He's not even close to the best in this class in that. But you're drafting him because of what you saw last season, what you saw the year before, his ability to dominate on the field. No one has put up numbers like this except Sauce last year when it comes to that.
Yeah.
So you see this kind of stuff. Obviously, Sauce not only did it on the field, but has the big frame, good length, all that stuff that you want. But you got to take a shot on Devin Witherspoon. If you want a lockdown corner who's going to be able to play on the outside, versatile, can play inside as well, you got to take a jump on him, especially if he gets outside the top 10. It just makes sense.
Yeah, and Witherspoon is at his best in man coverage, but the other thing, he's one of the most aggressive man coverage defenders in college football this year, and he had a reputation for being a big hitter who was constantly battling for the ball. So if we're thinking about the teams that want to draft a corner in the top 10, you know, the Detroit Lions, the Las Vegas Raiders, two teams who run a lot of very man-heavy schemes on defense, and that's what they look for. You know, those two teams are known for aggressive, big-hitting guys that set the tone on defense, and that's why I think Witherspoon is, you know, more fitted to those teams and mocked more heavily than, you know, Christian Gonzalez. But we'll look at the tape and see some of these aggressive plays that he made in man coverage and the big hits that he was known for this season in college football. So a great guy. I loved his skills going into it. Always had his nose on the football. Had some coverage schemes in the nickel. And honestly, that, you know, he could fit there in the nickel. You know, you're not going to draft a nickel that high, but that's a valuable asset to have in the NFL as well. Someone you can move around inside or outside in man coverage and still be effective.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned he could be a nickel. That could be where he ends up going. But at the end of the day, you're drafting him as an outside corner. That's what you're doing. And I think he has the ability. You talked about this with the two teams that he could potentially go to. That's maybe the one position that has not changed in my mock draft the entire time. We'll see Wednesday if it changes. But I've had him mocked to the Detroit Lions the entire time.
Yeah.
Whether they draft him at 6, whether they trade back with the Titans, if the Titans want a quarterback and they draft him at 11, no matter what it is, I have Devin Witherspoon going to the Lions because I think that just makes sense. Just lost Jeff Okuda, so they are probably going to be going corner. But Devin Witherspoon just makes a lot of sense. He's easily the quarterback, cornerback too, in this class. He's a top player, and you see it in the film.
Yeah, I mean, he plays like a dog, and he has a fiery personality as well. Yeah. Some of these big hits, he's getting up and just absolutely letting the receiver know that he put him on the ground.
Yep.
So a fiery personality, willing, you know, defender, and isn't afraid to just put a guy down.
Another thing MCDC likes.
Yeah, another thing that both those teams really like and are really known for. So a great tape to look into. And a very important tape to look into. Not much we've seen on him in this process, so the tape is really heavy to consider when looking at him being a top prospect in this year's class. But the next one up is a guy who, at the combine, I talked about being in consideration to be cornerback one.
Oh, yeah.
Since then, it seems like he's fallen off a little bit. I think even Peter King mentioned him not even being in the first round. But a guy out of Penn State who I think is very deserving of that category and will fall somewhere in the late teens at this point. Potentially into the 20s, is Joey Porter Jr. The next one up on this class, a surreal length and physicality cornerback on the outside. To me, the pop in his hands on press coverage was the most significant thing. Not letting receivers get off the line of scrimmage was a big thing. Another efficient and effective tackler, which is, you know, a common trait for these top three cornerbacks, which I really like out of cornerbacks.
Yep.
Someone that can tackle and hold their own in open space. All three of these guys can do it. But it seems to me like Porter has the most intelligence out of this year's class. You know, being, you know, football smart on the field and on defense. And he's come from a football family. Yep. You know, Joey Porter in the league as well as dad. But another guy who seems like a day one starter in the league this year.
Yeah, he's going to try to follow in his dad's footsteps, a former Pro Bowler, his dad. So he's got it in his blood. He's got the ability to be a top corner. Not being in the first round seems very crazy. I think he is extremely fast, and he's extremely intelligent, and I've had him as my cornerback three for pretty much this entire process. At one point, he was probably my cornerback two. So, seems very unlikely that he's dropping out of the first round. He is one of the slower guys. Ran a 4.46 40. So very similar to Witherspoon, but a different kind of player. I think there's going to be a team. I think he's going to be drafted in the top 18 of this draft, 18, 19, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
He'll be in the teens. He'll be the third or fourth corner off this board. There's just not enough weaknesses for him to drop that far. With what this class is, the amount of corners that usually get drafted in NFL drafts in the first round, it's one of the sexy positions. Got to go for it. He's clearly the number three or the number four in this class, coming out of college. So, I mean, he's got great recovery, good length. He's big, 6'2", 193. So he's got much better frame than the other two guys that we've talked about so far. And he also has the ability with his size to be able to go up against pass-catching tight ends. That's a big thing about him. So when you're playing a guy like Kyle Pitts or Michael Mayer when he comes in, guys, Mark Andrews, those kind of guys, you're going to be able to put Joey Porter on them. So that's a big plus that he has. So I'm excited to see where he goes, when he goes, because it'll be interesting.
And the other difference from the first two guys we talked about with Joey Porter, I thought he played a lot more of a sound mix of zone and man coverage throughout his tape that I saw with the two games. You know, the first one, 2021 season against Auburn, and the second game we have was against Purdue and Aiden O'Connell this year. But this year, his stats, zero touchdowns allowed. 11 pass deflections, and in his career had 113 career tackles, played 83% of his snaps on the outside.
Yep.
So a primarily outside guy, didn't do much work in the slot this past season, but a guy who is a little bit more favorable because of his zone coverage ability that the other two didn't really get to showcase back in college. And again, just anywhere on the field, the guy can make a tackle.
Yeah, and I think one of the big things, when you're talking about these top three corners, if this is your top three corners, Christian Gonzalez is probably going to be a cornerback one out the gate. Joey Porter Jr. has cornerback one potential. You never know, but he could definitely reach that. Devin Witherspoon, he's going to be an outside corner. Don't know if he can ever reach cornerback one on an offense. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't have that factor where he's going to go up against DeAndre Hopkins. He's going to go up against Garrett Wilson. He's going to go up against Devontae. He's not going to go up against those guys.
Yeah.
So when you're drafting him, top 10, it's a stretch to go for him, but it's something where his on-the-field play shows that he can be elite, even if it's not guarding the number one guy on the field. So you could see Joey Porter being the second one off the board because of that.
Mm-hmm.
You could see Devin Witherspoon still be the number one corner that goes just because you really like what you see in the film. So it's very interesting to see like how teams are going to go about strategically drafting these guys. Joey Porter is very underrated and potential to be a cornerback one in the NFL.
Yeah. So when we pull up the film here on Joey Porter, I liked his range. I mean, this is a guy who I thought recognized the quick game in the flats very well, and the short yardage, coverage of a cornerback. But I also thought the teams can get a lot of value out of him being a deep third coverage player as well. So either in man or zone coverage, you can do a cover three, have him in the back end. On your defense, and also his ability to just play around the frame of a receiver. Sticking with the receiver, being able to reach around them and play like a receiver is honestly not even there. And just play on the football and extend on the football, but still do it in a legal manner. I mean, we're not like playing through a receiver in terms of pass interference time and time again. Very smart, very intelligent. Got a nice scoop and score touchdown. So a very instinctful player. That I really like in this year's class that, again, I just don't see how people are now saying this week this guy can't be a first-rounder.
Yeah, no, it's kind of crazy because there are only two weaknesses that kind of stand out to me, and both of these things are things that can be developed and changed and fixed. One, he's got a very noticeable delay in his transition from press. That has to change because if you're going to put up against the line and you're going to press someone, you need to be able to recover and stick with them afterwards.
Yeah.
But again, something that can be worked on. Second, it's his change of direction quickness as an open field tackler. That, he is nothing like Christian Gonzalez or Devin Witherspoon when it comes to open field tackling. And that's something that you just need to work on. Something that you go into practice, get it worked on, fix it, and you'll be just fine. He's capable as an open field tackler. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. There's no issues with that, but it is something that will probably need to be improved at the next level. just because if he showed struggles in college, the struggles are going to be a little bit more noticeable in the NFL.
Yeah. So do you think he's going to follow in the father's footsteps?
Yeah, I think he will.
Because that's where I have, I think I have it right now. If I look, let me pull up the working mock, still to come on Wednesday later this week, the mock draft. So I actually have him later, you know, going later than that, but there's a thought that the son of the former Steelers star could return to Pittsburgh.
Interesting.
And that is what I mean by, do you think he can follow in his father's footsteps, or do you see, you know, maybe a team a little later that lands Joey Porter Jr.?
So Pittsburgh is definitely, I've got him as my third option for Pittsburgh right now. But right now, I actually have him going to a division rival, Baltimore Ravens. I have them selecting Joey Porter Jr. with their pick. I have him as the number four corner going as of right now. Again, to be decided. But I think it just makes sense. He could definitely go to the Steelers. I think the Steelers are a team that could potentially go corner. And we were talking about it, I think, like 5-6 minutes ago. I was just thinking, you know, I wasn't looking at my mock draft, and I couldn't remember where I put him. And I was like, yeah, Steelers kind of makes a little bit of sense for Joey Porter. So it'll be interesting to see. But, I mean, we talked about this earlier. There could be a lot of movement in this draft. Yeah. A lot of picks going around. You never know. I mean, Steelers trade up to 10. You know, what are you going to draft Joey Porter Jr. at 10? Or are you trading up to get your choice of offensive lineman? Are you going for one of the wide receiver? Like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. So it'll be very interesting to see, because Steelers are a potential team that could trade up into that top 10 or close to that top 10. So it'll be interesting, but Steelers are definitely one of my top landing spots for Joey Porter.
Yeah, the Steelers are a team I'm considering for him right now. The other team I have in mind, the one I have right now in the working mock, is the Minnesota Vikings.
Okay.
I think Brian Flores coming into town with a team that is bone thin at the cornerback position. That's what Brian Flores is known for. I mean, yep. he gets his cornerbacks, and he needs his cornerbacks for his defense to work and work successfully. So I think that's another position with another team that could go with this position in the first round that could really fit Joey Porter Jr. best. But next up, we have a guy from Maryland to discuss in Deontay Banks, who's another player that I really like in this year's class, a physically impressive cornerback. What do you like best about him?
I mean, when you talk about potential cornerback ones, he's my favorite in this class. He showed out at the combine. Great performance there. 4.35 40-yard dash, which was insane. He's got a great athleticism score. He could potentially be the cornerback three in this class. If Joey Porter Jr. or Devin Witherspoon slip up, or both of them, he's that next guy up, in my opinion. Great size, good length. He's very versatile. He can play in multiple different wide coverages. But he is a very underrated corner in this class. And this is what I'm kind of talking about when it comes to talking about this class during this process.
Yeah.
You hear Christian Gonzalez occasionally. You hear Devin Witherspoon. You hear Joey Porter. But after that, I mean, you really haven't talked about anybody else in this class. Deontay Banks' name comes up occasionally. Emmanuel Forbes' name comes up eventually. Cam Smith's name comes up eventually. But you're not really talking about it. And I think that is going to really help some of these guys, Deontay Banks being one of those guys. And he could be drafted in the top 20, top 15, and people are going to be like, who is this guy? And I think that's one of the things that's going to help him a lot. Not going to have the big, you know, expectations or anything like that, and he's just going to be able to go out there and play. And he has the potential to be a cornerback one, Pro Bowl cornerback one in this class.
Yeah, and for me, the things I want to see improve most are pretty much his discipline and coverage.
Yeah.
And I think he was, at times, he can be aggressive, and at times, he can be hesitant.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he did both at the wrong time. I think he just needs to be more, you know, more disciplined in understanding those two areas of the game. He's, you know, an incredible reactionary athlete. But at times, he was just too hesitant, and at times, he was way too aggressive when he needed to be, so he'd miss a tackle. And then other times, he'd wait and have a guy, you know, come into his zone behind him, and he wouldn't be able to react to it in time because he's hesitating, you know, keeping his eyes caught in the backfield. So those kind of things were some areas of concern for him that I want to see some improvement on once he gets into camp, whichever team lands him, and to work on that. So I think, you know, if he gets put with a good cornerback coach, maybe some good cornerbacks already in house. I think he can be a really good cornerback too. I don't see the cornerback one upside with him, but I think late in the early 20s, there's some teams with some good cornerbacks already on the roster where they can add Deontay Banks as a very good, very confident cornerback too that they can build on into being a future star of their defense. Because the guy's still smooth, got fluid hips, awareness, length, everything on the charts that you're looking for. And the other thing as well, he had a great combine testing. And has great scheme versatility as well. And you look at this combine here, he scored a perfect 10 at the combine.
Yep.
Perfect 10 RAS score. Height was a concern, but a 4.35 40-yard dash, 1.45 10-yard split, 42-inch vertical. Everything was off the charts for him in terms of his athletic profile. So it's just the stuff you would fix that is easy to fix with him, which offers a lot of upside as well, but it's just whether or not you can get this fixed in his game.
Yeah, and I think that's why a lot of scouts are high on him. And I think that's why, going into this process, no one was really thinking about him as a first-round pick. And after that combine, everybody took a second check and looked at this guy and was like, all right, his biggest weaknesses are things that can be fixed fairly easily.
Yep.
These are things that by the end of the season, he could end up being, the potential cornerback one or an elite cornerback two, no matter what. But if you can fix those things, go into a good room with good veterans, a good cornerback coach, I mean, the sky's the limit. He has everything you need to be a top corner in the NFL. It's just a little bit of tweaks in some areas, and he'll be fine.
Yeah. So we'll take a look at the film on Deontay Banks and what we're going to see. 618 snaps this year on the outside. Only had 37 in the box. Didn't really play in the slot at all this year, so primarily outside defender again, but again, just some of these plays we're trying to take a look at is when is he being too hesitant, when is he being too aggressive at times, and understanding those two things within the defense, but still a fluid corner, be able to stick with the receivers downfield and be able to make some plays on the football is good to see.
Yeah, and I mean, there's not much else to say. I mean, he's got good play strength, he passes off receivers really well. And, I mean, I think the biggest thing for him in the positive is his ability to play in many different coverages. Zone, man, no matter, different schemes, it doesn't matter. He can play in whatever you want, and I think that's probably his biggest upside and why he could potentially be a little bit higher on some draft boards and some of these other corners that we talk about. But he definitely has the potential to be a plus starter in the NFL.
So right now I have him fitted for the Ravens, and I think that's a really good spot for him.
Yeah, that's an interesting – if Joey Porter were to go earlier, I think Ravens do go corner here. Deontay Banks would probably be my second choice there.
Yeah, and like I said, he can sit there, groom with a good coach already there on in their scheme and on their team in Baltimore with some good players already in-house as well. Excuse me. It would be really great to see from him. And Matt, the next one we have is the safety pseudo box corner, slot corner in this year's class who – has honestly, in my opinion, in this entire process, the best tape I think I've watched out of any prospect in this year's class. Brian Branch out of Alabama is an absolute weapon. I think in the two games I watched from Brian Branch, I'm pretty sure every other play was put down and ended by Brian Branch. Anywhere on the field, it's like he was a ghost.
Yep.
And it reminded me of in Madden when you're playing against the 99 overall Deion Sanders who has a 99 overall awareness, 99 overall play recognition where no matter where you put the ball, somehow that Deion Sanders is on you immediately when you're playing Madden. That's what it felt like watching Brian Branch's film in Alabama. Anywhere you put him on the field, he made the tackle all over the field, and 569 snaps in the slot, 136 snaps in the box, 25 snaps deep, 24 snaps as a defensive lineman, blitzing off the edge at his size, and 14 snaps as an outside cornerback. Brian Branch is an animal on his tape, and I think he's a beast.
It's so hard to find a weakness in his game that it makes it so annoying that his combine was so bad.
Yeah.
Like, why? Because it just puts question marks in there. He should be a top 15 pick in the NFL draft. The Jets, the Patriots, the Packers, all could use a safety, and not a single one of them may draft him just because
horrible.
The combine.
Yeah.
The combine was so bad. He's got great versatility, you just mentioned. He's got great ball hawking ability. He can play in coverage. He can play in zone. He's a big hitter. he has everything that you want in a safety slash slot corner. But he might not even go in the first round.
I know.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous that he might not go in the first round. He could easily be the number two defensive back off the board in this class. Easily. I see no issues with it. If he was a corner, he'd be the number one. Safety, just not the sexy position. It's not the value pick in the first round, which is why he'd be the number two. But, I mean, come on. His football intelligence, off the charts.
Yeah,
like, maybe the smartest person in this draft.
Yeah, and easily like one of the smartest persons on Nick Saban's defense.
Oh, yeah.
And there's some guys that we talked about coming off that defense this year who are really good perennial players.
Yep.
And yet Brian Branch was the one where it seemed like every single play he was the one putting a stop to it.
Yep.
To me, he seems like a smaller Jamal Adams.
Yeah.
You know, where you see his fit as a hybrid, you know, linebacker safety combo. Jamal Adams is 6'1", 213. Brian Branch came in at 6'1", 190, so like 23 pounds smaller than Jamal Adams. So I think he's, yeah, just a smaller Jamal Adams in the way that he plays. I mean, a relentless, instinctive player who is all over the ball, has a hot motor, one of the hottest motors in this year's class. I mean, Nolan Smith has a hot motor. I think Brian Branch is double that. The way he's always after the football, anywhere on the field, with insane closing speed. This guy could be a top dog, but the athletic testing was so bad. Like you said, he might not even be a first-round pick.
Yeah, but it just doesn't make sense. When you watch the tape, he's an athletic demon. Like, I don't know what happened in the combine. Like, why did he test so bad when you look at the tape? And everything just seems so good. I mean, I guess pure athleticism isn't there, but when you're on the football field, you know, he's just better. I don't know what it is. Personally, he's a top 20 prospect. I don't think there's any question.
Yeah.
If that. So, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense just because he's so good. He is so good, and it just, if he makes it out of the first round, I don't know what the Jets better trade up and get him, because we need a safety, and if he slips out of the first round, I want the 32nd overall pick. I want it.
Yeah.
All right?
I mean, a guy who's compared to Jamal Adams and Minkah Fitzpatrick, we're talking about him slipping out of the first round.
Yeah.
You talked about on Friday how if Jalen Carter falls to 6 or 7, that's going to be the steal of the draft. If Brian Branch falls to the first round, whoever gets him at the top of the second, in my opinion,
that is the steal of the draft.
Because athletic scores be damned, this guy's tape was absolutely insane, and I loved watching it. Again, probably the best tape I've seen so far this entire season.
Yeah. Oh, no, I don't think there's a question about that. I mean, he's probably my top 10 prospects. I mean, I have to finalize the big board still, but it's probably around there.
Yeah.
Definitely not worse than 15, I'll tell you that.
So we'll pull it up and
see
some of these instinctful plays that he played. And the big thing for me is watch every single play. He's in a new position.
Yep.
A very versatile defender in terms of what he can do. His blitzing off the line of scrimmage is absolutely phenomenal. Getting after the quarterback, getting into the backfield, and just plowing through running backs. I mean, this one, he's destroying Deuce Vaughn, who is not going to be representative as most relative-sized NFL running backs. Deuce Vaughn is a little bit on the smaller side at K-State, but he was destroying him time and time again in this K-State game. And in the other game we have as well against Mississippi State, made some great plays in pass coverage as well. He wasn't the best strong-suited at that, but still can make some plays. I thought he was best in zone coverage, you know, using his instincts, reading the quarterback's eyes, jumping some routes, deflecting passes. But still had a couple of man coverage plays in here as well, where he was pretty good at breaking up some passes and getting involved in the passing game as well.
I just can't wait to see this guy in the NFL.
I can't.
I just can't wait to sit there, watch a full game of him, see him playing in the coverage safety, play him in his box safety. He's going to play the linebacker. He's going to play in slot corner. He's going to play as a defensive lineman all in one game. And you're just going to see all these different alignments and see how the team strategically use him throughout the game. It is going to be so fun to watch and analyze. I mean, it gets me excited. I want him to go high. I want him to do well. So I'm hoping for the best for him. I really am. But, man, at the same time, I want him to drop so fast. I want him to get into that second round just so the Jets can go and get him. But, no, he is one heck of a player. And it's just so annoying that that combine happened. It really is.
Yeah, so this last play we have against Mississippi State, he starts out in the slot here, right on the hash mark. We can see him number 14 on the right side. And I kind of wish I included, the sideline, or excuse me, like the sideline cam footage of this play as well, because in my opinion, this is one of the best plays I've seen out of any prospect in this year's class. Looking at everyone's tape now, this one, but starts out, the slot receiver pretty much runs a 10-yard banana route as an out route, but kind of curves it, and Brian Branch starts out and he's behind this route. I mean, it looks like he's beat, and this is going to be an easy first down completion. But as we watch the play comes out, runs down the guy, and all of a sudden when the camera turns, he's in front of the cornerback, or in front of the wide receiver, and just absolutely wallops the ball out of bounds, and he's like flying, like Michael Jordan posing, smacking this football, and all of a sudden he's way deep in the sideline. It's like, they jumped like 7 yards, like horizontally and vertically, smacked this ball out of the air. Just a phenomenal play by him.
Doesn't sound like an athletic failure to me.
The tape definitely does not showcase what he showed at the combine and at his pro day.
Do you think things would have changed if he had declined his pro day?
Probably.
In the combine invite?
Yeah, if he didn't do any of the athletic testing, you mean, at the combine?
Yep.
For sure. He would be a first-round lock right now. And that was, like you said, honestly, doing that hurt him more so than it could have helped him.
Yeah, and it sucks because usually it's supposed to help you. You're going there because you know I've got what it takes to boost my draft stock. And when it doesn't boost your draft stock, it just hurts. It
definitely hurts. So, Matt, next up we have another cornerback in this year's class, a guy who is a little bit on the smaller side, but, my God, he is a dog in this year's class. He's my cornerback 4 just because he plays with an absolute beast mentality. I mean, this guy is like a house cat looking at a shadow and seeing a lion. that is honestly what I thought of watching his tape, and I thought that is the best way to describe him, because 6'1", 166 pounds, he doesn't look like an NFL player. I mean, based on that height and weight, or the weight alone, a lot of people were concerned by that. They wanted to see how he was going to weigh in at the combine, still weighed in undersized, but one of the most ultra competitors in this year's class at this position, an experienced guy in man end zone coverage, but he has insane ball instincts. Honestly, one of the most ball-hawking cornerbacks in this year's class. I mean, he had the most pick sixes in college football and SEC history. This guy is a beast, but his size is a little bit of a detriment. Had 6 interceptions this year, only allowed 3 touchdowns. Emmanuel Forbes is a guy that I really like.
He's underrated. He's maybe the most underrated corner in this class.
Oh, yeah.
You talk about Deontay Banks potentially being a top 3 corner. You talk about Devin Witherspoon, Joey Porter, even Emmanuel Forbes could be a top 3 corner. These guys are so close together. They just bring something different, each of them. Emmanuel Forbes, top end speed. 4.35 at the combine. Great runner there. You talked about his ability to ball hawk. Probably the best in this class. He's an absolute beast. Beast. And this is why so many corners are going to go in this draft, in the first round. Just because of how good they are. Only 3 touchdowns allowed here. I mean, my God. 14 career interceptions. I mean, soft hands. He's got really good instincts. Good play recognition. I mean, the guy's good. It's just so undersized. Undersized.
But I mean, even with his size, we talked about Joey Porter Jr., how phenomenal of a tackler he was.
Yeah.
He had 113 career tackles. Emmanuel Forbes had 150.
Yeah.
Career tackle. So it's not like this guy can't tackle somebody and bring him to the ground with his size, and that he's constantly getting beat because of his size by bigger body players. And honestly, at his best, and it's going to be interesting to see how a team fits him into their defense, because he's at his best when you just let him be a freelancer.
Yeah.
You just say, Emmanuel Forbes, trust your instincts, you do you every single snap. Because that's pretty much what he was doing at Mississippi State. And, the instincts, the ball skills, everything was on display for him. And it'll be interesting to see a scheme in the NFL that fits him, where a defensive coordinator lets him be him and lets him do his game that he does best.
Yeah, and sometimes that's all you want in a player. If you can just let him be who he is as a defender and just let him go and play, I mean, that's sometimes the best thing for you. And if he can go to a team that'll just allow him to do that, it'll be the best thing for his career.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see what he can do at the next level. I think he eventually will be a starter, Pro Bowl potential. So really good guy. Probably first round, a little bit in the later end, probably 19 to 25 is where I'd probably have him mocked, somewhere in there.
I really want to see him be a first round guy.
Yeah. He's one of those guys that could slip into the second round.
Yeah. I really, really hope that he's one that really gets in there at a strong spot. So when we pull up the tape here, I'm not going to pull up, the pick sixes.
No.
I'm not going to pull up all the flashy plays because I talked about it. He's one of the most ball-hawking safeties in college football and in the SEC history. All those tapes are out there.
Yep.
What we haven't said is a game against Alabama where he's trying to trust himself as a sticky corner against Bryce Young, who is widely expected to be the number one pick in this year's class, and also tackling some of these players against Alabama who are known to be tough, gritty players for Nick Saban. So I pulled the film up here against Alabama in this game. This is, kind of the stuff that we're going to be looking for out of Emmanuel Forbes and, being used in a different way in this Alabama game where he's not trusting his instincts and ball skills as much and as productive as he did in other games, but still showing that he can play at an NFL caliber level despite his size is what I'm looking for the most when I was watching his film.
Yeah. And, he's been able to do it. Yeah. That's the big thing. That when you talk about it, his biggest weakness, his size. Has it affected him? No. No, it hasn't. So at the end of the day, when you're looking at the guy and you say, all right, he's undersized, it doesn't matter because he has played bigger than that. He plays like a 6'2", 200-pound corner. He plays like a normally sized corner. So it shouldn't be an issue. I don't see it as an issue. I still see him as a first-round guy. I still see him going there, and he's going to prove a lot of people wrong if he ends up slipping out of the first round.
Yeah, I think so for sure. So the team I have fit the best for him, and honestly, when I was looking at schemes, when I was looking at coaches, when I was looking at coordinators, and I was thinking which one would be a fit to where he can play his best, and the coaches can, a coach's player, or a player's coach, where they look at their players and they're going to put them in a situation that works best for them. And I stopped at 18 with Dan Campbell.
Yeah.
To me, Emmanuel Forbes, if the Detroit Lions don't go with the cornerback at six, I think their second pick, they go with the cornerback. And I think Emmanuel Forbes would be that guy.
Yeah. I had Emmanuel Forbes going to the Commanders. I think Commanders, Steelers, Lions.
Yeah. Ron Rivera's that same way as well. Let Bucks, the guy beat itself, yeah.
If the Bucks get there, if he gets the Bucks, maybe they go him. But that's a really good pick there for the Lions. Makes a lot of sense, and especially after losing Okuda, Emmanuel Forbes could be a very good replacement in that area.
Yeah, and I'm really confident in that one to the point where, we'll just do a spoiler alert to Wednesday. That one's not changing.
Not changing.
Emmanuel Forbes at 18 is going to stay on the final mock draft, just because I think he easily is a first round guy. And I think that's the best scheme fit for him.
Yep.
So we got one more guy, Matt, and another guy who is widely considered to be a first-round pick, and one that I had early in the process, slipped out, but now he's coming back into it, and everyone else is catching on. A highly productive player from South Carolina who plays with, in my opinion, the best confidence in this year's class, and something, a skill set you really need at a cornerback position, because the moment you lose your confidence is the moment you're beat, and that's the moment usually your team is beat as well. But Cam Smith, one of the most confident defenders in this year's class, has good speed, loose hips, quick feet. Those four things were you looking for in a cornerback.
Yeah, I really like Cam Smith. I've been watching him for 2 years now. I really like his ability. Does have a little problem with penalties.
Mm-hmm.
He had 10 flags thrown on him this year.
His aggressiveness has gotten the better of him.
It's gotten the better of him, but again, that's something that you can work on. Work on your discipline. He tends to grab people instead of using footwork to try to get back into plays. So that's kind of an issue. But again, it's something that can be worked on at the NFL level. It's not something that is a deal breaker or anything like that. I kind of see him as like an A.J. Boye type player.
Yeah.
Very similar thing there. I think he is going to go in the second round, which is very annoying. I've been watching him for a long time, and I really like his ability. I just think compared to the other six that we've watched today and talked about today, he's just a little bit behind right now.
Yeah.
He's got the potential to be better than a lot of them, because we talked about how pretty much 3 through 6 are very, very close and anything can happen. 7 is just outside there. Cam Smith is just outside of that. And I think he can be a very, very good cornerback too at the next level if he can work on his discipline and just kind of hone in on what he does best.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And it's still another versatile guy. 356 snaps on the outside, 196 snaps in the slot, 20 snaps in the box, and then 10 snaps also as a deep safety. So use a lot all over the field for the South Carolina defense. The tape we're going to pull up is 2021 against ECU, and then 2022 against Will Levis in the Kentucky offense. But 6 career interceptions. This past season had a 47% completion percentage and only allowed 2 touchdowns in his career. So Cam Smith, just another fascinating tape to study in terms of what he's able to do on the field. I mean, showcased outstanding ball skills, good body control, being able to locate the football in midair at times, and honestly a sharp processor. His recognition skills were top chart, next level, that I like to see. But again, just the aggressiveness sometimes got the better of him.
Yeah, I mean, he's got great anticipation, great on-ball production. He's able to read the quarterback and wide receiver at the same time, which is huge. So he's able to jump throws a lot, which leads into his aggressiveness there. Yeah. He attacks the ball well. One thing, obviously not in the film here, but he did a great job at limiting Jalin Hyatt in this year's win against Tennessee from yards after the catch, which is one of Jalin Hyatt's top things.
Top speed guy in this year's class. So
his ability to limit that was huge, and something that I looked at and was like, all right, this is why this guy could sneak into the back end of the first round.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very good chance that he could, but it'll be interesting to see where these other corners go, because that's going to determine whether he's a first-round guy or not.
Yeah, so I had two plays in here that I really liked best that really showcased what I think Cam Smith can do at the next level. And I want to go back to the body control thing. I mean, there are plays in here where he's in the air trying to locate a football where it seems like he's like floating.
Yeah.
Like his body is just frozen in time in midair until the ball gets there, and then he just kind of boop, and then it's an incomplete pass.
Yeah.
He has great ball recognition and great body control where he, you know, deflects a lot of passes. You know, yeah. Breaks up forced incompletions time and time again that we saw out of South Carolina. And the other play that played a while back that was a really good play from him was a play where he started out looking at the offense on the left side on the outside, and it's pretty much a dump-off for the left side to the offense. So the complete other side of the field is a dump-off. And Cam Smith hauled tail from the complete other side of the field. And he's actually the guy that made the tackle. I mean, moving from one side of the field to the other, the motor runs hot for this guy. And Cam Smith is another one that I really like. And when you talk about the cornerback position, a very valuable position that we see multiple always go in the first round compared to other other positions. And we talked about the defensive line group on Friday, how that's a position where not the flashiest
don't see
position.
A lot.
So a team that I'm looking at and trying to consider here for their first round pick is the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah,
I'm trying to determine what they're going to do with their pick and what Trent Baalke is going to like, because it's unconventional. Where they're picking right now for the Jaguars in recent memory is unconventional. The great season that they had late in the 20s here, they're going to have to really understand positional value, because when you're picking number one overall, when you're picking Trevor Lawrence, when you're picking Trayvon Walker last year, you go with the best freak athletes on the board that are proven winners, like those two guys were. At this point, you're going to have to understand positional value in the draft. We talked about Brian Bresee was a fit for this team. Kalijah Kancey could be a fit for this defense. I think if Baalke really hones in on positional value and wants to go with a cornerback, and these other guys are off the board, I think Cam Smith makes a lot of sense for the Jaguars.
Yeah, and I mean, they've got a history of going corner as well. CJ Henderson, Tyson Campbell, these guys who have had decent careers, Tyson Campbell especially with Jacksonville has been really good. So, I mean, there's no question they could go corner. And I think they've got enough pressure on the defensive line where that's not a 100% need.
Mm-hmm.
If they can go and get another corner here, whether it's Cam Smith, Deontay Banks, Emmanuel Forbes, whoever ends up, possibly Joey Porter Jr., one of these guys that ends up down here to pair up with Tyson Campbell on that defense, I mean, it could be very, very good.
Yeah, they've done their due diligence on a lot of players at a lot of positions, so it'll be interesting to see what Baalke goes with that Jaguars pick. But that's the top cornerbacks we have in this year's class, in my opinion. Potential first-round guys. Are there some more names that you'd like to throw out there? We got some time. We can throw potentially one each that we can throw in as another sleeper guy to look into potentially on Thursday.
Yeah. So there's three guys I'm going to talk about one, but the three are DJ Turner, Sidney Brown, a safety, and the guy I want to talk about, Julius Brents. I mean, he is the first guy that we've seen that has the elite size of a corner. 6'3", 200, great arm length at 34. I mean, he is an absolute beast from K-State. Got a rare blend of size and length. I mean, he's really good in press. Great route runner, reader. And, I mean, he's very underrated. He's going to go second round. I think if he'll be the first in the second round if Cam Smith ends up going in the first. If he's not, he's going to be the second. Very simple as that. He's very good. He can make the move to safety if needed to. He's extremely versatile, can play inside, he can play outside, and obviously, if he needs to make the transition, he can move to safety. So I think he's a very, very good player that could be selected early on day two.
Okay, so the one I'm going to throw out there is going to be Tyreek Stevenson.
Okay.
I've had a very knowledgeable person come out to me about Tyreek Stevenson and said that, you know, he thinks he's going to be a first-round guy.
Interesting.
So shout out Brad Kallir putting me on Tyreek Stevenson out of Miami. But, you know, 6 foot, 198, you know, has a smaller size, but apparently one that a lot of people have been bringing in on visits, and an underrated guy that people are looking into in this year's class. So Tyreek Stevenson's another one I want to look into. I mean, he's the 11th ranked cornerback on Dane Bugler's The Beast that you can find on The Athletic, which is the great overall rundown on every single prospect. I mean, this thing has got 308 pages. He's an absolute insane guy. But he's a long, rangy corner. A lot of teams are liking those big, rangy corners. And you talk about, you know, this class doesn't have as much of it. Tyreek Stevenson's got a lot of range and a lengthy frame and has a lot of speed and short area quickness. So there's a lot to like out of Tyreek Stevenson as well. Being, you know, a press man corner on the outside as well, where if you want a guy like Christian Gonzalez, but Gonzalez is off the board, you can wait a little bit later and get a guy like Tyreek Stevenson. So I think he's another one also to consider.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of depth here outside of the guys that we talked about today that could be day two, early day three picks that are going to make an impact at the NFL level. So watch out for it. It's a stacked class.
Well, Matt, that wraps it up.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on for all these episodes and breaking down these prospects with me. Next up, mock drafts on Wednesday, draft on Thursday.
Yeah.
Happy draft week, Matt. Appreciate you joining.